From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his third message in a series expounding one of the most blessed and beloved passages in the Old Testament Scriptures, Isaiah chapter 53. The title of this message is Christ in the Sight of God and of Man. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Blessed in the Field. The text is Deuteronomy 28 and verse 3. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. So was Isaac blessed when he walked therein at eventide to meditate. How often has the Lord met us when we have been alone? The hedges and the trees can bear witness to our joy. We look for such blessedness again. So was Boaz blessed when he reaped his harvest, and his workmen met him with benedictions. May the Lord prosper all who drive the plow. Every farmer may urge this promise with God, if indeed he obeys the voice of the Lord God. We go to the field to labor as Father Adam did. And since the curse fell on the soil through the sin of Adam the first, it is a great comfort to find a blessing through Adam the second. We go to the field for exercise, and we are happy in the belief that the Lord will bless that exercise and give us health, which we will use to His glory. We go to the field to study nature, and there is nothing in a knowledge of the visible creation which may not be sanctified to the highest uses by the divine benediction. We have at last to go to the field to bury our dead. Yea, others will in their turn take us to God's acre in the field. But we are blessed, whether weeping at the tomb or sleeping in it.
Until then, my heart will go on seeing.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content. So, if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for your taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy this program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, he is dealing with verse 2, For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Chapter 53 portrays perhaps the clearest prophecy of Christ's crucifixion, as well as the reason for it, to be found in the Old Testament Scriptures. In this, the second verse of the chapter, we find one of the clearest statements in the Bible of man's wicked rejection of Christ. As Dr. Cairns explains, the verse presents two views of Christ. The first is God the Father's view. Here we see the approbation of the Father upon the work of his Son. Now to continue this message entitled, Christ in the Sight of God and of Man, here is Dr. Cairns.
I was reading in Isaiah 59 how the Lord Jesus is, in the language of the prophet, how he's describing himself. This is the speech of the servant of Jehovah. Isaiah 49, verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob to him again, though Israel be not gathered. If you've got a marginal reading, you'll see that the margin suggests that it's in order that Israel may be gathered. Both actually have truth in them. There's a time when Israel is not gathered, as now. There's a time when she will be gathered, as Romans 11 would indicate. So there's truth in either translation. And I think the Holy Spirit is emphasizing the double edge of the message there. But whether Israel is rejecting or receiving, whether the work of God is in revival, or whether it's suffering a time of opposition and apparent failure, the Lord Jesus says, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Here is the speech of the servant of the Lord. And he says, I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we have the historical fulfillment, at least in part of that. We find in verse 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The Lord Jesus had the approbation of God. You'll notice how the text puts it. As God looked on him, he was pleased with the character of Christ. Notice very carefully, he grew up in the sight of God as a tender plant, as a tender branch, as a suckling, or a root sprout. The words actually have the significance of something sprouting out of a root of a tree that has been felled. You've all seen that, I'm sure, a tree that has been knocked over or cut down, and then a root sprout appears. You'd wonder how on earth it ever would, but it does. This is the word that the Holy Ghost is using here concerning Christ. And that's what pleased the Lord. We'll see in the sequel it didn't please the Jews, but it pleased the Lord. In other words, the appearance here is the appearance of extreme weakness. The Lord Jesus did not appear as a mighty cedar of Lebanon. Now there are other descriptions of Christ that would be worthy of such eminence and such strength. But here the emphasis is upon the weakness with which the Lord Jesus came into the world. When you stop to think of it, the eternal Word of God, the second person of the everlasting Trinity, he who spake the worlds into existence, he who upholds all things in his own power, he who holds everything in the great scheme of universal coherence that there is in creation, he who holds it all by the virtue of his own omnipotence, he came into the world how he came as a babe in a manger. He came as an infant who had to lie in a woman's arms. He came to be a child who would grow through the stages of life. He was in apparent weakness. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, or the Father of eternity, and yet he comes as a child that's born. And when he goes to the cross, we are told he was crucified in weakness. And that pleased Almighty God. I'm not saying this is the only reason for it, but there certainly is more than a little irony there. Because you remember the use that Paul made of that particular truth. And he says, in effect, it teaches us that the weakness of God is stronger than the might of man. The great French general Napoleon Bonaparte stood back on one occasion amazed. And he said, I have subdued most of Europe. I have brought nations under my control, and I have done it with the power of a mighty army. But he said, Jesus of Nazareth has brought a world of men to his feet, not by sword, not by army, but by the power of his own grace, his own love, by the weakness of his cross. Pleased God for his weakness. But then it pleased God that he was the root out of a dry ground. I think this is one of the most telling descriptions of Christ in Scripture. I don't know what horticultural experience you have. I hope it's better than mine. You hear about people having green fingers. When I get to work in the garden, I think I have no fingers. I don't know what your experience is. But you'll know that certain grounds are hard to grow anything in. In Northern Ireland, one of the hardest crops for a home gardener to grow is the humble carrot. It has a special kind of soil that it likes. Over there, it's a sandy type of soil that a carrot likes. And you always know a very good gardener, if he grows good carrots, he'll grow anything in the type of soil we have over there. What's it telling you? It's telling you that root that forms is dependent upon the soil in which it's placed and the nutriment that it's given in that soil. And if all that's in the soil is not conducive to the growth of the root, then the thing won't grow at all. And that's common sense. But the Lord Jesus Christ was a root who grew out of a dry ground. He grew out of a ground that had nothing in it that would produce such a one. You can think of this in many ways. Christ, the great liberator, was the root that grew out of the soil of an enslaved and sin-ridden nation. Christ was of the line, the human royal line of David, but that royal tree had been felled, and the mighty line of David no longer ruled. Even the Jewish people. It had fallen in decay. It was the root out of the dry ground. Then you think of humanity generally. I don't want to get into the technicalities now of the theology of the virgin birth. I touched on that somewhat more largely last December. But I get a little irate with fundamentalists and Presbyterians among them. And let me be quite frank, free Presbyterians among them, who appear to me to undervalue the miracle of the virgin birth by trying to take up the line, for instance, that was made popular by the late Dr. DeHaan, that made the Virgin Mary no more than a mere channel as she contributed no more to the growing flesh of Jesus Christ and to the developing humanity in her womb than if she had been made out of marble. And of course, that's not what the Bible teaches. It says he was made of a woman. The historic creeds of the Christian church make it clear that he was made of the substance of the Virgin Mary. It was not a heavenly humanity that was sent through a mere plastic channel. It was a real humanity made of the substance of a real woman. But here's the miracle. The Virgin Mary, contrary to what popes and priests have said, was not sinless in and of herself. She was not born sinless. She needed a Savior. She rejoiced that he was her Savior. But out of that dry ground, God, by the miracle of the virgin birth and by the mighty superintendence and hovering of the Spirit of God, he produced the root that was Jesus Christ. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, the clean, came out of that which was born unclean. The Roman Church makes that text, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean, the basis for its notion of the Immaculate Conception. Ignorant Protestants think that Rome means that Christ was immaculately conceived. That's not what she means. She means that Mary was conceived in her mother's womb without sin. Because who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Of course, the folly of it is that you have an endless succession of sinless mothers right back, and you destroy the whole biblical doctrine of sin. There's no sense in it. We are not here to explain the miracle of the virgin birth, but we are here to admire it. We are here to say, here is the one who is the root out of the dry ground. When you stop to think of that too, you'll see that these characteristics of his weakness and then his progress and his perfection not being dependent upon the soil in which he was planted, these characteristics are not only personally evident in the life of Christ, but they are always evident in the progress of Christ and his gospel through the world. How has the gospel made its progress? Christ chose apostles, not armies. Muhammad had great success. He imposed his religion at the edge of a sword. Jesus Christ imposed his religion at the end of a sword, but it was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel. It appeared to be total weakness. When you think of the society in which Christ sent his disciples to preach, when you think of the mighty Roman Empire, you think of the debauchery that was widespread through the decadence of Rome, you think of all the social and religious evil that was in the world, and how did Jesus Christ combat it? By the preaching of the gospel of Christ crucified and risen again. By the preaching of justifying grace through faith in that Christ. There's been many a theological argument over the early church's attitude to slavery. And people have stumbled. Why did Paul, when he was dealing with Onesimus, why did he not take the opportunity to launch a mighty manifesto against slavery? Why did he merely deal with certain ramifications of the doctrine of our oneness in Christ and then send Onesimus back to his master? Why did he seem to countenance slavery? The Apostle Paul, inspired of God the Holy Ghost, knew better than the social engineers who have thought that he ought to have been a Martin Luther King and said, I have a dream. Paul had better than a dream. He had dynamite. He had the gospel. I want to tell you, when Paul sent Onesimus back, and he says, I'm sending him not just as a servant, but I'm sending him as a brother. When Paul established in the hearts of God's people the mighty truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he did more to undermine the Roman system of tyrannical slavery than all his political manifestos would ever have done. And it's a simple fact of history that within a few centuries, that gospel had prevailed.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.